Good morning, Steve.
You have to be happy, I would think, with the paving, the extent of Main Street, and all the other things that, and said the Bridalville Falls project was done earlier, so that's great.
You know, I was really glad to hear that Bridalville Falls had been reopened this week. Also, what I really was pleased to see was that they were able to do the work without having to tear up the road. They were able to use a long arm and get the rock in place without a lot of disruption of the road. So that was great. The downtown paving basically is complete. The contractor for the final painting of the parking spaces and the striping, they're scheduled to do that this coming Tuesday evening. And our police will be trying to clear the streets of vehicles going toward the evening so that they can put the equipment in place and do that final striping. Josh Ward was given an update by the DOT officials. Focus now will be going out and paving the corridors on 28 out to Clear Creek to Buck Creek on 64. It's about 2 weeks. A contractor will be on the road, and everywhere you see that breaking down of the asphalt, they will take those areas of the road and remove the asphalt and actually go back and address the root cause of the problem, and that is the roadbed itself is breaking down. So they'll go back, address that issue by adding more compaction and material to those roadbed areas, and then they'll come in and do a patch. Then the road pavers will come back, put a new layer of asphalt over the entire road. That's what's in store for the next 2 weeks or so.
And everybody showing great patience as we're detoured around Main Street, so I know you want to say great job for that.
This is just something that just has to be done, and I'm glad to see that we are ahead of schedule. In previous programs, I talked about that we'd try to have everything done by Memorial Day. Well, we're way ahead of that schedule. If we can get some good weather in the coming weeks, I think the contractors can really make some very good progress. Josh Ward was kind of laughing and saying that they've been very pleased at how well the paving went in the downtown area, and they're creating a Highlands file of this is the way you do a downtown area when you have to resurface a street.
We were recording this and are recording this on a Friday, and we had the plateau pickup that was scheduled for Saturday postponed, and there is some rain expected. Then some pretty heavy rain, so
right.
The one on the 17th, and we're looking forward to that.
That's when the plateau pickup will take place. A number of volunteers led by Fred Teed, and they've already been picking up the Gorge Road a lot. And if you'll notice, it's pretty trash-free from the town all the way down to around Turtle Pond and even beyond that toward Gold Mine.
To set you up for this past budget workshop on Thursday, you talk trash, the capital expenditures, a whole bunch of paving, water, sewer.
We did talk trash, and that was really the first item that we covered, and that is Josh Ward, our town manager, gave a preliminary report. He has talked to several potential providers as to whether they'd be interested in providing that service to the town. Some were lukewarm, some were interested. It is something that is under consideration, and Josh will continue to discuss some other options with these providers who are showing interest. Commissioner Patterson really emphasized that we need to look at the way we are operating the sanitation department. How can we improve on the trash collection, be more efficient in collecting the trash? Can we improve what we're doing? Can we change our schedule, possibly close the gap on these deficits that we're facing? Do we have to raise rates on certain customers? A tremendous amount of garbage is generated from any of our businesses that are in the food service operations. Do we raise those rates, especially for those customers that want 7-day-a-week collection? That's pretty expensive for the town to meet. And to be quite frank, it's very unusual for a town to be providing that extensive of a service. The first step to me on environmental responsibility is how we handle our waste and garbage. And it's not just a responsibility of the town, it's everyone's responsibility, because we are all consumers of materials here on the plateau, and it does have to be disposed of properly. We charge a sanitation fee, $20 for residential and then varying rates for commercial, and we still don't break even. That does not include the depreciation of our vehicles and the replacement costs. We have to buy a garbage truck every few years. That's $230,000, $250,000. Well, that's not factored into the rate charges. It comes from our electric and water and sewer enterprise funds that generate, of course, surpluses. And we hold that money to address the shortfalls in other areas of the town's operation. Any profit that we make goes to providing services in the long term to the citizens of Highlands.
I know you also talked about big ticket items, water, sewer, water treatment plant, and then of course we'll talk about the police department getting two SUVs, some hybrids, and you want those LED streetlights. That's going to be green.
The police chief presented her analysis of the vehicle replacements that she has to make for the coming year. We drive those police cars to where they get well over 100,000 miles. If you read in the paper, the old traditional sedan police car is not really being made by car manufacturers anymore, other than if you want a Dodge Charger, a chase vehicle, then you can get those. The police chief has pointed out that's just not the style of Highlands, and I agree with her. We don't need to be chasing people. We're looking at a Ford SUV, and they're going to be hybrids, and they will cost about $5,000 more than the regular gasoline vehicle. The chief has calculated that the savings in fuel every year will quickly override the additional cost of buying these vehicles and will be, in the long run, more fuel efficient. The other thing is, last year, we did not convert our streetlights over to the LED streetlights. We've put that back in the budget this year because there are several benefits of the new LED streetlights. First of all, they address the dark sky issue. They project a low light beam down on the ground, which is focused and not just covering the entire area as a traditional light bulb would do. They're much more energy efficient. They last longer. And finally, the intensity of the light can be increased or lowered. One of the things that we have on the horizon is replacing the lights at the ball field. Same kind of thing. You can now buy lights. They're pretty expensive, but we need to do it down the road. They're more energy efficient. They're more focused, and they emit a light that isn't so bright that it would disturb anyone in that area. So we're looking at that down the road too. Maybe not in this year's budget, but it certainly is on our list of things to do.
We had a question saying, are we going to come up with a new scoreboard that we can have out in center field? That little teeny scoreboard stuff to see at the park.
Well, we can look at that.
Okay. I know you had some big ticket items you have to cover, and with the influx of people, but just to keep things normal, water, sewer, water treatment plants, all those have to be addressed, and that's a lot of money.
When Lamar Nick says we need to have a high surface replacement pump variable flow device for $600,000 installed at the water plant, it's something that you don't ignore. So that's on the list. It's one of the things that Lamar wants us to do is to make sure all of our pump stations throughout the town have current pumps that will be functional, especially in a crisis situation. And also, he wants every one of those pumps to be backed up with the generator. If you don't have water flowing in your home, it really becomes a serious situation. We're going to be making those kind of investments in the water plant. We've got some major things that we will have to do this year. And then in the coming years, we will have to be making some major replacement of equipment. Project will be done next year. We'll be on a 6-inch water line on Moorwood. Right now, it's one of those old 2-inch galvanized lines. We will replace it with a 6-inch line. Lamar emphasizes that the more you can circulate the water, the better quality the water is, and he wants to see that happen with this new Moorwood Road water line. It's only $670,000, and I'm facetious when I say that, but those are the kind of investments we have to make in these infrastructure systems. The other thing that we're doing is partnering with Withers Ravenel, the engineering firm, who has been developing some designs and specifications for other park projects, like our major effort that we'll have to make on Dog Mountain. We're hoping that some infrastructure money at the federal level will be made available in the coming months, and we will have those projects shovel ready. I can assure you we'll be asking for that infrastructure money to improve the water system. We're planning in the future, and we're, I'd like to say, investing in the future with our water and sewer departments. The other big thing, and I know you're going to ask me about it, and that is the P word.
Big old paving.
That's right, paving. In the past, we were concerned that we were getting behind on road paving. I will say that we are now closing that gap. We're catching up. For this coming year, that we will be paving certain roads. Spring Street is in bad shape. Sherwood Forest Road is in bad shape. That's at the top of our list. And then we have this initiative of paving the roads that are gravel and unpaved, and it's an environmental initiative with all of the wash off of rock and chat and sand. It all winds up in our watershed. We've got on the list for paving this year Upper Lake Road and Lower Lake Road. We've got Old Wall Hollow Road, and at the budget meeting, some of the commissioners asked Josh, our town manager, to go back and revisit that list and see how many other roads we can pave this year beyond the Upper Lake and Lower Lake Road.
Town board meeting, you've installed some big screens there, 75-inch screens, so people can look, and your Zoom cameras have been added. So
that's right.
What's the state of that? They're coming up this Thursday.
At our next board meeting, we will have installed on a temporary basis two 75-inch TV monitor screens. They cost about $600 a piece. And Matt Schuler, our media specialist, said if you go to 80 inch or something, then you're talking about thousands of dollars. But for some reason, if they're 75 inches or lower, they're pretty inexpensive. Any document that we're discussing, that document will be on those screens, and people can easily look and see what the board's talking about. The other thing that I hope we can pull off, and Matt's working on it, is that if someone brings their iPad into the meeting, they'll be able to hook onto our Wi-Fi and actually pull up what is being projected to those TV monitors on their individual iPads. So they'll be able to see exactly what the board is talking about. There's a new Zoom camera that will be located. People that want to observe what is going on by way of Zoom, they'll be able to see the board meeting and hear what they are saying. We will not be continuing to do the public comment by way of Zoom or anything like that. We're going back to the in-person public comment, but we will have that Zoom option for people that would just simply like to observe and listen and see what is going on at a board meeting. We've got some public hearings and things scheduled. One of the things we're going to revisit as we pull out of the COVID pandemic, we're going to review the current orders that are in place, especially the ordinance requiring people to wear a mask on the sidewalks in the business districts and so forth. The governor's order now continues to be that if you go into a business, you have to wear a mask. But we will look at where we stand on the mask requirement on the public sidewalks and streets. It always requires that the town board of commissioners review the issue. They thoroughly discuss the issue, and then they vote, and we go by how the board of commissioners vote on any particular issue.
Hey, before we talk about, and I can't wait for this, and your mayor on duty, beware of legislative double talk. You also addressed employees' insurance rates, and that can be a high rate.
At our budget workshop on Thursday, we did look at how much we're having to pay for our 70 employees for health insurance. It's around almost $650,000. We went with the League of Municipalities insurance pool that's available to all cities that provide health insurance, and that has been really a stabilizing factor in our employee insurance costs. It's going up by, I believe, several percentage points this year. We will be asking other providers to submit a bid to see if they can do better. One thing I would say about our insurance for our employees, every employee gets free health insurance. It's something that we just need to do to attract the very best staff and workers to come and work for us here in Highlands. Just want people to be clear, we cover the employee, but any additional coverage, that employee has to make a contribution, along with we have very substantial individual deductibles and deductibles that the town pays. So healthcare is a complicated, expensive issue, not only with the town of Highlands, but with the state and also at the national level. And while I'm at it, I want to also again encourage everybody. The governor has opened up the gates, you might say, for everybody getting vaccinated with this COVID pandemic. And I encourage everyone to take advantage of the clinics that we're having in getting your vaccination, because that, to me, is the most critical thing for us to address as we pull out of the COVID pandemic.
Your mayor on duty, beware of legislative double talk when I bring up SB 349, HB 401, increase housing opportunities. That sounds pretty good.
You know, I do keep up with what's going on in Raleigh this time of year where the legislators are in session. Senate Bill 349 coupled with House Bill 401 kind of goes off the rails to me in that they would just eliminate R1 zoning or any residential zoning that did not permit multi-family residences, and that would pretty much negate our current R1 and R2 zoning in Highlands, because the legislation would say a developer could come and put multiple units on a R1 zoned parcel. You could have a duplex, a single family house, a triplex, or a townhouse. As long as you could meet the watershed requirements, you could pack a lot of different houses on a parcel. The other thing that really kind of shocked me was that they wouldn't even allow parking requirements for a town when you build all of these different units on a parcel. In the article, I was saying it's just another example of state preemption of local governance that is really disturbing. And then finally, the thing that really kind of gets away with me is it sounds like it would be helping with affordable housing, but nothing in the legislation deals with affordable housing. Someone could go and pack a series of houses or duplexes or whatever and VRBO them at premium type prices in our residential areas. So I don't see how that really necessarily solves the housing crisis that we're facing. It just gives some folks opportunities to make more money by offering Airbnb and VRBOs at top prices. So that's what I'm concerned about. I express my concerns to our state senator, Kevin Corbin, and our representative, Carl Gillespie. They have responded, and they have expressed that they will be looking at that bill with a critical eye and concern, and I hope they will. And I encourage anyone who shares that concern to contact your representatives.